this meeting. Welcome our guests, starting with DCOG, the Northwest Provincial Government, the Office of the Auditor General, the Northwest, the District Municipality, Dr. Ruth Mombati, and the local municipality that we are about, Kagisano Molopo, local municipality officials from all these different entities. Let me welcome you and indicate that we're carrying on with our task as the portfolio committee, that of doing oversight as part of parliament, as an extension of parliament over local municipalities, a challenge identified that there are a number of municipalities in the country that would require our focus. One of those is this one now, Kagisano Molopo local municipality. So today is more engagement about the state of this local municipality in the Northwest. But before that, I would like to quickly allow, because of our preparations for this meeting, had some challenges, and I think some of the documents that we have arrived late, and including now knowing who is going to be part of the meeting. So I would allow, let me just introduce the leaderships of the different delegations. But when they speak, maybe they will introduce their teams. At the level of DCOG, we have got Deputy Minister Nkadi Meng. I think she is together with acting DDG and at the level of the Northwest Provincial Government, we have got MEC Khosho, who earlier indicated that the MEC for COGTA was also going to be part, but I'm informed now she is not well. So sure, they will introduce the rest of the other people. Now from Auditor General's office, we have got Mr. Sibisi, who is leading that delegation. And he will talk to that. Salga, we will hear from them. And the Executive Mayor of Dr. Ruth Sekgomotsi Mopati, Councillor Motsiakai, Mayor there, and then at Kagisano Molopo, we've got Councillor Shireletso Marubatse, who is the Executive Mayor. I've just taken the heads of delegations. When there is need for the heads of delegation to introduce, I think I've only helped DCOG to indicate the acting DDG. So maybe Honorable Khosho, if there are any people who want us to note, will be part of your delegation. Can we come down like that?
Thank you very much, Honorable. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, Deputy Minister. I've unmuted, Chair. Maybe it's a network problem.
Unmute.
I've unmuted. Oh my goodness. Can you hear me, Chair?
Yeah, we can hear you, MC.
Okay,
when I said unmute, I didn't mean switch off your video. We didn't hear you.
Oh, my apologies, Chair. Good morning, Chair and members of the portfolio.
We can't hear you, Honorable. Let me see.
Maybe there's a network problem, Chair. Let me try to connect with another gadget. So,
Chair, we do hear the MEC from
there. Is there somebody who is muting her?
Chair, we can hear her.
From our
we
side?
Can hear, Chair.
Maybe we hear, Chair. Maybe it's on our side, Chair.
In the meantime, because we didn't want to waste time, from Northwest, we're going to have the MEC, as already indicated, MEC Khosho and MEC Mika, and the head of Department for Finance, Mr. Kunene. I think we have that list from them. Can we move to the Office of the Auditor General?
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I think you were expecting Mr. Sibisi. My name is Lauren van der Gryp. I'm the Deputy Business Unit Leader in Northwest for the AGSA. I think I look a bit different than Mr. Sibisi. Also with me today is Ms. Nombulelu, or Mrs. Nombulelu Nkumi. She's our Stakeholder Liaison Manager. And then also Mr. Julio Kam. He's the Senior Manager on the Audit of Kagisano Molopoa. Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members.
Thank you. I'm sorry, it was me who was not hearing, Honorable Khosho. Can we now allow Salga? In fact, with Salga, we didn't have their list. Salga, if they are in.
Good day, Chairperson. I'm the Provincial Director of Operations for SALGA. Our Chairperson is struggling to log on and indicated that he might be 10 minutes late. The delegation is also officials that are here present with us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Then Dr. Ruth Sehomotsi Mobati, Executive Mayor, any team you are together with?
Thank you very much. I am Jemotsi Ukai Alfius. I am joined by the Acting Municipal Manager, Mr. Johnny Shai. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Then Executive Mayor Kagisano Molopo, over to you. Any delegation from your side?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I am Councillor Marabuze, the Mayor of Kagisano Molopo, and present in this meeting from the municipality is the Administrator, Mr. Seloma Roja, the Speaker of the Municipality, Councillor Mwirohale, and the Acting Municipal Manager, Mr. Morapit. Thank you very much, Chair. Oh, the Speaker was insisting that I must correct the Chair in terms of the pronunciation of my surname, Marabuzi.
I'm sorry.
Not Marubat. Thanks, Chair.
No, I'm sorry. I think we are learning as we are interacting. Then that helps us to have a picture of who is in here. I'm sure honorable members who are present, they'll confirm themselves, or maybe let's allow them to introduce themselves. I'm Figile Kasa, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. Can we follow some order? I see.
Good morning, colleagues. My name is Dikeledi Direko. I'm a member of the committee.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Khalid Pierre, a member of the portfolio committee chair. Thank you.
Thank you.
So Eleanor Smith, member of the committee.
Thank you.
Good morning, colleagues. I'm Polani Msumango, the member of the portfolio committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Is that all? So let's assume any time member.
Good morning, Chair.
Oh, yes.
I'm Tunikaya Mpumza, member of the committee.
Thank you, Honorable Mpumza. Can we now begin to get into this session? I'm informed because I am new in this committee that this is a follow-up meeting on a meeting that took place somewhere around March in 2021. So there are some outstanding issues, if not responded to as we proceed with the presentations. Obviously, they would be asked. So this is not a new process. We are following up, as already indicated. There are a number of municipalities that are part of our program. Maybe just little explanation to Mayor and her team that we are three different arms of government. We have the executive, we have got legislature, and we have got judiciary. So we are that arm that makes the laws and that actually claim to be representing the people in terms of the constitution. The constitution prescribes that. And we represent them, and we make sure that the laws that we pass are executed. We do so by conducting oversight. So we have got our own program, and which we determine informed by programs of parliament, as portfolio committees are extensions of parliament. So hence, we could not accept the apology because it was actually tampering with our program. And we have got specific reasons why we are doing this program of interacting with specific municipalities. And it happened that this municipality is part of that program. So there was, honorable members, an attempt to apologize on the part of the local municipality. It was very late, so we could not accept the apology. We are happy that we see them in. If there are any challenges, because they were saying they were not ready, we insisted that they should be part of the meeting because there are many other critical stakeholders who have prepared for this session. So with those few words, I just wanted to give you a picture so that you don't get surprised when we are proceeding with the presentation. So the actual item here is engagement on the status of this local municipality. Presentations would follow this order. We'll start with the provincial government, MEC for Finance, and COGTA. I think they will see how they present. And immediately thereafter, we will go to the Office of the Auditor General, in the Northwest, and it would be AXA and then SALGA. After SALGA, it would be DECOG, and then the district municipality, then Kagisano Malopo local municipality would be the last. Members would be taking notes. We'll discuss only after all the presentation. And I'm sure those who will be presenting, except where there are differences, will take note of whatever that has been raised before. Can we now start with the presentation and ask MEC Khosho to introduce the presentation and guide as to what will happen insofar as the provincial government is concerned. Over to you, Honorable Khosho.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Deputy Minister, as well as Executive Mayor and Mayor of Kagisano Molopo and Executive Mayor of the District Municipality of Dr. Rusekhosi Mompati SALGA, and all stakeholders on the platform. Chair, before I go through the presentation, I just want to make you aware from Department of Cooperative Governance in the province, we have Meli Zimuti, I think she'll be representing the HOD. So we have forwarded the presentation, but I'm going to request that honorable members, I'll just do a quick overview, high-level overview, and I'll allow the HOD to take us through the presentation, Tate Kunene, and I'll request then Tate Kunene, yourself and Osnizi try to adjust, I won't come in, then we'll allow also Melizy Elizabeth to, from Cooperative Governance from Costa side to also present. Like you said, it's a feedback or it's an update. Yes, I was part of the first engagement. I must indicate that the political leadership has now changed in the Kagisano municipality. We have a new mayor. The Troika, especially the mayor and the speaker, are new. The whip of council is the same whip of this previous council. And also at the district level, there are those changes. However, administrative challenges still stand. But we have, under the new administration, political leadership, they've tried their best to ensure that they restore order and to run the municipality. However, within 3 months of the local government elections, the municipality continues to experience that administrative instability. You have had 2 councils. The other council established a new council. The administrator, in the form of MM, continue to cause divisions within the council. They've been taking each other from one pillar to one point to the other in terms of the courts. So they just, and also the budget was never adopted. The budget in terms of the IDP was never adopted. However, let me maybe, so that HOD is able to take us through the challenges and also the support that is provided at the technical level, especially working with the administrator. After provincial government, we invoke Section 1391B of the Constitution with the administrator. There's just been great progress that we have registered, even in preparation of adopting the budget in the municipality. So I'll allow the SG Tate Kunene to take us through the presentation, and also Lizzie, you must also be ready. Rekunina Feta, please come in. I won't come back. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson of the members of the Portfolio Committee, the Deputy Minister, MECs, and colleagues from departments and entities, SALGA, who have joined us. Chair, the MEC, she has already spoken as part of the background. As a consequence of some of the challenges that we noted in terms of persistent and political and administrative instability in Kagisano Molopo, as indicated within the 3 months of the new council, it also had an impact now, which resulted in government, provincial government, starting off the process of withholding of equitable share because the view was that with the equitable share transfers, it might not necessarily be used for the intended result, intended objective, given the challenges that are there. On slide number 5, these are the challenges, and I think I don't have to repeat them, Chair, but I think the main issue is that they were impacting, obviously, negative. Part of it is that it borders on non-compliance to the legislation, and we picked it up that there are great possibility of fraud and corruption, and obviously, with the non-compliance, obviously, it would lead to community unrest. As I've indicated, the challenges were persistent and were serious, and they also bordered on the material breach of the Municipal Finance Management Act and other applicable legislation. As a result, both COGTA and Provincial Treasury requested National Treasury to hold the funds until such time that there is a sense of stability in the municipality. The council had failed to do certain things. One is that issues of the councils which were convened and which did not convene and did not follow legislative process. And I think with the court judgment, it also confirmed that some of the decisions which were taken through councils, I think those decisions were null and void based on the court on the court judgment. The equitable share was eventually released on the 6th of July 2022 because the above conditions, although they were not met, but I think there was a sense of that there was a discussion between National Treasury and on some of the conditions that need to be placed to the municipality. The National Treasury sent a letter to the municipality requesting documentation and information, and the equitable share was eventually obviously released on the 24th based on the mediation process. On the adoption of the 2022-23 MTREF budget, Chair, is that the municipality submitted information document to support the forces to table the budget. However, the outcomes of the findings of the submissions were as follows. That one is that in terms of the areas that were identified, for example, number 4, provide the 2022 MTREF adopted budget A schedule, data strings provided, but not the 2022 MTR budget. So in other words, in terms of what was expected by the municipality for submission of the for the budget, I think it did not comply. Most of the required information was not provided. The expenditure obviously incurred as a result of utilization of the municipality proceeding in the absence of an approved budget constitute an unauthorized expenditure. We have engaged the municipality to redo the budget. We have also, the 2020 must be adopted by a legally constituted council, which is a process. But what is critical, Chair, is that the view of the provincial government is that the council must implement consequence management on the issues that has been raised, which bordered on non-compliance. On the issues of the support, we have continuously provided support to the municipality, and we are continuing to do that to ensure that their budget obviously is funded and their budget obviously is approved. On the 27th of October, the mandate of the municipality to provide the technical support on the process of redoing the 2022-23 budget and to develop a credible plan. The Municipal Council planned to adopt the revised budget IDP, including the budget and related, and on the 10th of November. And we are continuously working with the municipality to achieve, Chair, this objective. In conclusion, Chair, is that the Provincial Treasurer will continue to support the municipality, ensuring that it does not only comply with the MFMA, but critically, that the municipality is able to provide the necessary services to the citizens of Kagiso Nomolopo, consistent with the provision, the constitutional provision, and other legislation. We have also asked the municipality to, as a matter of agency, establish of the DC in line of the municipal regulation on financial misconduct procedure and criminal, so as to ensure that the implementation of consequence management relating to the loss suffered by the municipality is done as a matter of urgency. We are continuously reporting in line of the reforms, regulations, norms, and standards as set out by National as key, and we are working with the municipality in all areas that relates to financial management. Chair, that concludes our part, first part of the presentation, which had to deal with the support by the provincial treasurer. As indicated by MEC, it is my assumption that COPTA would also flag their report and present accordingly. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and members of the committee.
Thank you, COPTA. Representative of the provincial COPTA, okay. Presenter. Can we see the presenter? It looks like there's a problem. We see the presentation, but where is the presenter? Can we move to the next presenter? I'm sure we'll allow them to come back when the presenter is ready. Can we move to the Office of the Auditor General in the Northwest?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. firstly, can I apologise for not providing the slides before the meeting? We are busy finalising our audits, as you know, the MFMO audits, and our teams are a bit thinly stretched in terms of meeting all of the expectations. But that being said, we will definitely aim to make sure that this does not happen again in future, as this is a very important engagement for us. In terms of the presentation, we are focusing on the 2021 audit outcomes as we are still finalising the current 21-22 audit, but many of these outcomes we already found them to be repetitive in the current year, and not much has changed since the previous year. in terms of our mission, and specifically with regards to this presentation, we want to get all accountability role players to play their respective roles to enable this municipality to achieve the aim of service delivery to the Kagiso-Nu Mulupu citizens. Currently, we are not seeing that. As you know, all the role players in the accountability ecosystem are depicted in this picture. And our focus is specifically on, we've engaged with the coordinating departments, Provincial Treasury, COCTA, in terms of what can be done in the municipal space to assist the municipalities. And I think Mr. Kunene has now also shared the initiatives from the coordinating departments. When we look at what's happening within the current accountability ecosystem at Kagiso-Nu Mulupu, we want to see that, and this is why our focus is that each of the role players should ensure that the local municipalities are effective, efficient, and development-orientated, and also service delivery-orientated. What we found at the municipality is that senior management is not performing their roles in terms of Section 78. The CFO is not performing his role. The mayor not performing her role. And council and council committees not providing effective oversight. Internal audit and the audit committee did provide some assurance and oversight as per the MFMA sections 165 and 166. So currently looking at the overall accountability ecosystem in the municipality, there's only the internal audit and audit committee doing something. What we would want to see, and in terms of our recommendations as to what needs to happen at the municipality, is that currently the BTO is undercapacitated. There's a lot of reliance on the use of consultants to prepare financial statements. And maybe on a positive note, from the previous year, the last year the financial statements were submitted late. It was not submitted on the legislated date. This year it was submitted on the legislated date, which assists in terms of the accountability process. But that being said, with all the new role players within the system and the unrest that's happening there, I think the main thing that needs to happen at this specific municipality is that there needs to be stability at the leadership level. And this is something that needs to happen as soon as possible. And hopefully with the new mayor and administrator there, this will turn the things around at Kagiso. The unrest issues is definitely impacting the environment, which is not conducive currently to service delivery or just doing the basics daily. Just being at the municipality currently is a challenge for the people working there, as well as if I speak from an auditor's point of view, it is a difficult environment to perform even the audit that we are working on. At this stage, excuse me. Those are our recommendations in a stable environment for the municipality. Then with regard to the audit outcomes, and as I've mentioned, current indications are that the audit outcomes have stagnated for 21-22 as well, but that has not yet been finalized. The audit opinion over the last 2 years was qualified with findings on the financial statements. The predetermined objectives went from a qualified to a disclaimer in 2021. And compliance findings, there's a lot of material compliance findings at the municipality. The impact of these audit outcomes is that the culture of producing the quality financial statements is not yet there. Credible financial statements are crucial for enabling accountability and transparency. If that's not there, the users of the financial statements are not able to properly govern the municipality and take decisions informed by proper supporting financial statements. The reporting of performance information regressed in the current year, and this is hampering the ability of the oversight structures to monitor on the municipality on how well they're doing in terms of service delivery. And then I think it's also something that Mr. Kunene mentioned, is that there's not a culture of consequence management to discourage wrongdoing in the municipality, leading to non-compliance and irregular expenditure not being properly investigated. In terms of our overall message, just a moment. Apologies. I've mentioned that the quality of the financial statements remains a concern. And in the previous year, the municipality failed to submit financial statements for auditing by the legislated date. This impacts the accountability processes that need to happen after the finalization of the audit report and the tabling of the annual report. And what we also saw is that despite using consultants, the quality of the financial statements remains poor. And it's difficult to transfer skills if there's no one to transfer skills to, and also when the environment is unstable. The audit outcomes of performance information remain a concern, and material misstatements were identified during the audit. Even with us allowing the adjustment of material misstatements on the financial statements as well as the performance information, those audit opinions were still qualified and disclaimed prospectively. The SEM non-compliance findings increased compared to the prior year, resulting in irregular expenditure, again linking to the fact that there's no consequence management or consequences for non-compliance with SEM. There's repeat non-compliance findings, including SEM and expenditure management, which reflects badly on management's commitment to address these non-compliance matters. What we found when we did some value-adding work at the Progress Port Facility project, we did see that the project was aligned to the actual output, or the reporting on the project was aligned to the actual output, and that the amount of money that was spent was found to be reasonable compared to the actual output. What was concerning is that when we looked at the landfill site, which obviously impacts the people on the ground, when you think of rubbish lying around in the town, the municipality does not have a license for the landfill site. As the land is used for this purpose, it belongs to the tribal authority. And this is something that needs attention in terms of the environment and the impact that it might have on the citizens in terms of the health and safety of the environment. Then, in terms of quality of financial statements, and why it's important, is that the accountability and transparency is not enabled through credible financial reporting. As I've said, proper record keeping, processing and reconciling controls are of concern. They're either not there or they're not being performed. Then there's not regular reporting and compliance monitoring, which we indicate as that there's intervention that needs to happen there. Because these things impact on the quality of the financial statements. And our main qualification areas in the previous year was on irregular expenditure, property, plant and equipment, investment property, and receivables from exchange and non-exchange transactions. In the current year, my team advised me there's also two new qualification areas. So it does seem that, based on what we will be finding, is that we might be worse off in terms of the audit report. The impact of these matters and the main qualification areas is that in terms of debtors, the risk profiling of debtors is important in order to determine are they able to pay the debt that's owed to the municipality. And that's necessary because the municipality needs to have steps in place to ensure that all monies outstanding are collected or owed to the municipality are collected, because obviously it influences the cash flow of the municipality. Then record keeping is an issue at the municipality, not just with regards to PPE, but with regard to supply chain management, supporting documentation for the processes in terms of supply chain management, and also documents to support the performance information as well as the compliance to laws and regulations. In terms of performance planning and reporting, it's concerning as this has an impact on service delivery. With the quality of the performance report currently, even after we've allowed adjustments, like I said, there's still a disclaimed audit opinion. So the information being reported on PDO does, we cannot express an opinion on. And it's also clear when you look at the environment at Kogisonde Molopo, that service delivery is a challenge for this municipality. In terms of compliance with key legislation, there is 100% material findings, and it's basically on those four areas that we've highlighted: on procurement contract management, the quality of the AFS, prevention of illegal expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and effective consequences that's not being implemented. In the current year, there's been a stagnation in the compliance with legislation, so you'll see a repeat of these findings. The reason for that is that the municipality did not implement effective action plans to address significant internal control deficiencies. Then with regards to irregular expenditure, in 1920, the closing balance was 476 million. In 2021, it was 590 million. So it keeps on increasing year on year. And this is not being dealt with by council. And the committees within council are not capacitated to deal with this irregular expenditure and do proper investigations. And then the lack of documentation to support the irregular expenditure and do those investigations is obviously hampering those processes. So having proper record keeping installed at the municipality and those basic controls is important for the municipality to actually be able to investigate and deal with the irregular expenditure so that consequences can be implemented where necessary. Just to highlight the, in terms of our observations, 39% of all expenditure was irregular, and that was in the previous financial year. Also, the reasons adding to the lack of accountability and consequences and the fact that it exists is that the SM unit is not fully capacitated due to vacancies, and this hinders the effective implementation of compliance controls. A lack of accountability and consequences continues on the unauthorized fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And the reason why it seems that it's not being dealt with is that there's a lack of cooperation between the accounting officer and the council committees that delays the initiation of investigations. And that goes for both the unauthorized expenditure, which was 272 million in 2021, and the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which was 2 million in the previous year. We implemented the material irregularity process at Kogisonde Molopo. And for the previous year, there were no MIs identified as yet. Then in my last slide, the key messages for the municipality. And I've highlighted the one which is not included on the slide, but that I think is important that Honourable Chair, that you take notice of, is the stability at leadership level to create an environment that's conducive to the proper functioning of this municipality is very important. Without that stability, we don't foresee that any of our recommendations will be able to be implemented. And that's also why we say in our first recommendation that the tone of leadership should create an environment of zero tolerance to non-compliance and transgressions by ensuring that the political, executive and administrative leadership should institutionalize a culture of high performance behavior and keep senior management and those in charge of internal control disciplines accountable. And then secondly, to make sure that there is appropriately skilled staff in key positions within the finance unit. Without those staff, transfer of skills cannot take place, and your basic controls can also not take place. In terms of commitments that was made in the previous year by the accounting officer, was that committed to address all prior year misstatements specifically relating to PPE and irregular expenditure. And I think it's clear that has not happened. Although there were steps taken to address prior findings, the control environment weakened compared to the prior year because of the instability that was there. And also, I think the fact that Section 139 was implemented in September at the municipality supports what we found in terms of the weakened control environment at the municipality. Thank you very much, Chair.
So, I'm not sure if COCTA is not ready now. COCTA.
Very good morning, Honorable Chair. I'm not sure if I'm audible.
You are audible.
Okay, no, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Very good morning to Honorable Members, the MEC present, and also the Executive Mayor of Dr. Ruth Sokomotsi Mompati, councillors present on the platform and colleagues, all protocol observed. My name is Lizzie Mutle from the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. My apologies, Honorable Chair, earlier on I was speaking here alone, thinking that I'm audible. My apologies for that once more. I think I'll just take cue from what Provincial Treasury has already presented, because when you look into our presentation, more or less the same, mainly because we have been in this journey together in terms of making sure that there is stability in Kagisano Molopo local municipality. If you can go to the next slide, the person who's assisting me, can you quickly move with the slides, because I'm not going to waste time. Yes, just to present and give a bit of a background that, as you all know, that this municipality is under Dr. RSM, and it has a population of about 102,703 as per the 2016 community survey. And this municipality has got about 15 wards, and the municipality is grant dependent, as we all know. What is of a concern is with regard to the issues of water shortage and sanitation within the municipality. If you can go to the next slide quickly. Yes, in terms of the background, like as I alluded earlier on, to say that we have been working around the clock with about seven municipalities in the province, including Kagisano Molapo, wherein we have experienced that following local government elections, there was instability in those municipalities. There were challenges around political instability, maladministration, and service delivery. And this situation led to the provincial exco invoking Section 1391B of the Constitution to enhance support to the municipality. Just to quickly highlight some of the triggers that led to the invocation of Section 139, as the MEC or Provincial Treasury has already alluded, I'm not going to dwell much. This is the situation that we found ourselves, where in the municipality we're having two mayors, two speakers. There was also the issue where in council meetings were not held as they're supposed to, and there was the issue again of the accounting officer who perpetually misled council on a number of occasions, and there were weakened oversight over administration. So, Honorable Chair, in terms of the progress, the council has accepted the intervention in terms of Section 1391B, and the administrator was formally introduced to the municipality, and as part of our monitoring as to whether the intervention goes well as expected, indeed the administrator has been providing the report to the department. And in that regard, I will not dwell much, because I believe some of the things the administrator will be in a position to speak on such. But just to indicate again in terms of governance and administration, Chair, is that this municipality, following the election of council, they have successfully established 14 of the 15 wards. And as the department, we've managed to induct all the 14 wards. And we have continuously providing training on to our ward committees in terms of now getting to understand how to register their community concerns And our training is ongoing because we have also wanted to also reach out to the ward committee secretaries. You can go on to the next pillar, which I will skip because provincial treasury have spoken mouthful in that regard. Go to the next one. In terms of service delivery, Chair, that one of the trigger was that the service delivery issues were not prominently discussed or planned because there was that stability within council. But the report that we are receiving is that there is light at the end of the tunnel, wherein the administrator has started with the engagement by roping in the district municipality to assist with some of the issues like the yellow fleet, just to address service delivery challenges within the municipality. Chair, like I've indicated, that you'll find that our report will be aligned to the municipality's report and also provincial treasury report, because we have been working together in making sure that we bring stability in the municipality. You can go on to the next slide, just to indicate that initially the employees were not reporting to work at the beginning of the intervention because they were afraid of intimidations, and that situation has since been addressed, wherein the South African Police Services was full-time at the municipality's premises to assist in making sure that the smooth operation in the municipality. And again, there was a planned session on the 14th of October, wherein all municipalities, officials and councillors have attended to a moral regeneration at the municipal offices. So, Honourable Chair, I think we are quite happy with the progress that we are receiving currently from this municipality. You can go to the next slide. Okay, I think even this one, in terms of improvement in political oversight progress, what we can indicate there is that on the 13th of October, that marked a special day in the history of Kagisana, because for the first time since January, the municipal council corrected. All councillors attended the council meeting. Since then, Honourable Chair, there was that council is able to take place and the SPD schedule of council. And the councillors have started an inspection in loco on all municipal projects as united. The report that we have also received yesterday when we are engaging with the administrator, they were busy out there just to monitor the project in the municipal area of Kagisana Molopo. And again, what councillors has done, they have also requested that we arrange a strategic workshop for the entire municipal council, of which as the department will support in that regard. And just to recommend to the Portfolio Committee on Cooperative Governance to know the progress registered and also as presented. Thank you very much, Chair.
And we will be presenting to the Honourable Committee to bring forth through Mr. Mogale, our DDG, to ensure that we bring up to speed the committee with regard to the challenges, the alternatives, and the areas in which improvements could be solved. The partnership between the province, SAUGA, and the municipality itself in trying to make improvements, but also highlight key the difficulties that the municipality is facing and the endeavors that it is trying to make. Honorable MEC, in her opening remarks, did indicate the challenges that still persist at the political administrative level of councils, which makes the intervention and input to be difficult with regard to the assistance of the for the municipality. And I do guess at deliberations then jointly with the teams, we could be able to see how best could we be able to also entrench the assistance that the portfolio committee demands to see with regard to the development of the municipality. Chair, with your approval, I'm not sure whether you would want me to hand it over for our input as DCOG at this moment. Of course, you could call into our department to make a presentation. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Okay.
Let me take this opportunity. Good morning. Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, as well as members of the committee. And let me also take the opportunity to switch off my camera. Good morning, DM, and good morning to MEC Hosho, as well as the mayor, the leadership of the district municipality, including the mayor for Garissa and Mulopo, and also all the officials that we are in this meeting. This municipality, we did circulate a presentation, but as you can see, Honorable Chairperson, the state of this municipality is distressed.
Honorable Chairperson, the person that is doing the presentation, there is a noise behind him. I don't know what is happening. Can he close the TV?
Okay, yes, you can hear that there's noise at the back.
At the back. Oh, I'm moving away.
In your background, I don't know, where are you? Are you at the
airport? Yes, I'm at the airport, yes. No, I've moved away. Thank you very much, and apologies for that. Let me then indicate that as you have seen the presentations made by all my colleagues, the state of the municipality is quite depressing, and we have been anxious as National COPTA to work with the provincial colleagues to really get into that municipality, because literally that municipality has been dysfunctional for the last chunk of this year, and we were just encouraged that ultimately the province has taken the decision to put it under 1391B intervention, and the minister has given the municipality a concurrence. And one of the challenges that we experienced at the time was that given all the challenges in the province, what we normally do when we receive a request from the province for such a concurrence, request for a concurrence by the minister, the department conducts an inspection in loco in that municipality to establish the facts that they will have articulated in their memo to indicate the reasons why they are intervening in the municipality. And then we will also then use the opportunity to ensure that the conditions that are put in the concurrence notice by the minister talks to the issues that we will have established, and to ensure that we strengthen the intervention and make sure that it's going to be effective. So in this case, we are not able to conduct an inspection in loco, Chairperson, simply because when we try to have an audience with the members in the province, we normally consult all the relevant stakeholders, particularly in the province, Salga, and as well as the district and the local municipality, if they are not dissolved, they are in place. There were issues of time and time limits, and we then agreed that the concurrence will be granted. And then one of the conditions that the minister put in the letter to the MEC for COFTA is that the department reserves the right to do that inspection in local after 3 months from the day of the invocation. And we are working, members of the committee, with the colleagues. We received the latest update. We are encouraged by the fact that the current incumbent that is running the municipality at the administrative level, Mr. Marowa, took us into confidence and gave us the heads up a few days ago in terms of what is transpiring. We are encouraged. We can only say that we are encouraged for now, members of the committee, and we are working with them this journey to ensure that the municipality is, you know, good governance is restored in that particular municipality. So we are committing to give the municipality support and working with our colleagues in the province. MISA is participating in that, been giving support in terms of some of the work that they've been granting. But I can ask Mr. Zimbwa to quickly share with us the some of the elements of support that they're giving. But the bottom line is there is so much that has to be done to really restore a good governance in that municipality. And we are very vigilant. We have told Mr. Marowa that they must pursue the transgressors of any form that has happened, starting with the MM and whoever else that have actually transgressed. And also, this new tendency of using public funds to fight personal battles by officials and even doing, you know, certain this tendency of even challenging, you know, as an official challenging a political decision, we find it quite bizarre. But we did insist that the Mr. Marowa must really pursue that whoever is transgressed. Mr. Zimbwa, if you can just in a minute or two just share with them what MISA has been also been doing in the midst of all this stressful experiences that we have had to witness in the municipality. Over to you, Mr. Zimbo.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Greetings to you, Honorable Chair. Greetings to the Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. Greetings to the Honorable Deputy Minister, the Honorable MEC, the Honorable Executive Mayor and the leadership and colleagues who protocol observed. Thank you very much. I tried to share, I'm just struggling to put it on slide mode. I hope it's visible, Honorable Chair. I will just quickly go to where the MISA support starts. May I continue like this, Honorable Chair?
Yes, continue.
Thank you very much. I won't dwell much on the functions of MISA, as I take it that Honorable Chair, it's known. I will just brush through, but safe to say this presentation in the main is to just highlight the support that MISA is providing in accordance with its mandate to Kakisano Molopo local municipality specifically. And here is just a reminder, Honorable Chair, that MISA provides technical support to municipalities for infrastructure development throughout its project life cycle from commencement during the IDP phase to design development to implementation when we do construction, as well as also when the assets are completed, when we operate and maintain the assets. But also MISA builds capacity with the aim of creating a skills pipeline in light of the challenges that municipalities face. The next slide is just to highlight how MISA operates. We look, we go into municipalities, we assess the challenges, and we use quite a number of instruments, including the State of Local Government report that we have already prepared, adopted by Cabinet last year, and we reviewed it this year, under state organs, the Auditor General of South Africa, and also even the municipal environment, the strategic document of the municipality, and also our presence, as we have a footprint in all the 9 provinces. And our operating approach is in terms of the district development model, wherein we support municipalities from the district base with all organs of state, together with other stakeholders who are interested and affected. And on this slide, we are just highlighting that in the Northwest specifically, we have a team which is supporting the whole province, which is highlighted on the second last bullet, led by the provincial manager. He's also on the platform, she's also on the platform, as well as the professional chief engineer. He is also on the platform today. And specifically for Dr. Ruth Sokobotsi Mopati, we have dedicated officials, one civil engineer normally, mainly in the work that municipalities have powers and functions for, town planner. We also have a young graduate and electrical engineer supporting us, especially for Kakisanomolo for that has got challenges with regard to the electrical personnel. And our capacity building programs, we have various of them, but here specifically for those that are benefiting Kakisanomolo and the district as a whole, we implemented an apprenticeship program in the last 2 financial years, and we are highlighting, Honorable Chair, that in the apprenticeship program in 2021-22 financial year, our target was 100 youth. We would like to do more, but because of the NICA budget, we can only enroll 100. We are engaging local government CETA to increase this enrollment because of the need on the ground. But we are also highlighting that in 21-22, for Northwest Province as a whole, we enrolled 28 out of that 100, and also specifically for Dr. Ruth, 3 were enrolled. In this current financial year, we are still enrolling, and to date, out of the total of 100 youth, for Northwest, 29 have been enrolled, and also one for Likwatemani, which is within the jurisdiction of the district. When it comes to the training, we also provide training courses to officials, mainly in technical departments, official, which includes their project management units, and this is mainly for continuous professional development and skilling for those officials. And in the last financial year, we trained 519 municipal officials countrywide, and 10 were from Northwest municipalities, and one from Dr. Ruth, one from Likwa Teman, and one from Naledi. And we just indicated those other municipalities within the jurisdiction of the district. In this current financial year, 328 municipal officials have been trained to date. Our target for this financial year is it's also 500. And we are indicating that for specifically for Northwest municipalities, 8 have been trained to date, and one from Likwatema. We then provide a specific support that we are giving to Kakisanomolo. There is a good news that we are sharing with the committee over and above what the colleague from the provincial quota indicated, Honorable Chair, that the council is providing inspection in local on the municipalities. MISA also supports the municipality with the implementation of all their infrastructure grants. But here, we are more hands-on on the MIG because it's included in the MIG framework, this, the work that MISA does, and as we are indicating, it's work throughout the project lifecycle from beginning when we do identification and project planning until we even do verification. And we are happy to indicate, Honorable Chair, that as of end of September, which is the first quarter, Kakisano Mlopo had spent more than 25%, which was 33.74%. And on this trajectory, it's doing well, though, of course, as was highlighted in the presentation of the AG, what is more important is service delivery on the ground. But it's a good indicator, Chair. And we then highlight the work that MISA does in support of Kakisano Mlopo and local municipality on the civil engineering side. We support in terms of all the projects, most projects on the implemented by the MIG civil engineering, but we also indicating that because the water services authority function lies with the district, MISA supports that for Kakisano Mlopo to benefit. And we are also highlighting that MISA is part of a team that is conducting a study to map groundwater throughout Kakisano Mlopo so that a calendar is developed that will be able to say how much groundwater is where for planning purposes for provision of for water. But we thought we should also highlight, Honorable Chair and members, that MISA supported Kakisano Mlopo local municipality with the disaster relief grant application, where the stormwater culverts, which are used as bridges, were washed at the access road, which we have provided there. And we are also happy to indicate, Honorable Chair, that the funding was approved through NTMC and MISA supported through contract and project management of this project. And the NDMC's conditions are that these disaster relief grant applications must be implemented on approval within 6 months. And indeed, the project is 100% complete and it's open to public use. On the electrical side, we are also highlighting, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that MISA is supporting Kakisano Mlopo local municipality, which does not have electricity distribution license. It also does not have an electrical department within on its established, in its establishment, and it does not have electrical personnel. So the MISA electrical engineer that is deployed is supporting the municipality to engage with ESCOM, which is the license, to engage with ESCOM, which is managing the grants that the Department of Minerals Energy, Department of Mineral Resources and Energy administers the INEP for electrification, and the electrical engineer is also supporting the municipality to assist energizing all the backlogs. In the one of the presentations, I think it's from previous COCTA, they highlighted some challenges with some high mast lights, which were installed but not energized. So they sit as white elephants, and MISA is engaging ESCOM to energize those. The challenge has been the capacity of ESCOM, which has not been enough. And in some municipalities that have licenses, they are busy building substations with through their own planning instruments and funding. And we are trying to engage ESCOM to assist in that regard. One success story we are proud to share is the last bullet that MISA is assisted engaging ESCOM, and two projects, the sports facility and the community hall, are now energized, which also had been long completed and not energized. We also have a town planner who is assisting the municipality with the IDP review process, but also we support the municipality with precinct planning, excuse me, and review of special development framework. Our town planner is also a member of the project steering committee for that Northern Precinct project, as well as for the municipality special development review project. Chair, this is the end of the presentation for Mr. Support. I will hand over back to DDG Mohale to just round off. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, DDG Zingwa. I think we are covered, members of the committee. We can revert back to the DM if he has got any concluding remarks that he may want to make. But that is the our support, the role that we've been playing in the municipality. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, DM.
Thank you once more, Honorable Chair, and my apologies. I should have indicated to you that Mr. Mohale is traveling and request for indulgence with regard to the possibility of noise, but it's an indication of living in between the municipalities. Apologies once more. Chair, I don't have much to add. Suffice to say that as the MISA presentation indicates, we actually are even stretching them over in areas which ordinarily MISA is not even designed to assist and work on, precisely because we need to assist the municipality, at least to have some form of services and functions that are happening. The critical effect of the spatial development framework, which they've spoken about, he might have not in the expand on it, Mr. Zimba, but I mean, Mr. Zimba. But it's important for the committee to understand that we cannot unlock the human settlement project until that is linked to the IUDF and the urban planning of the municipalities done properly. So we have got quite a number of municipalities, this one being it, where human settlement is complaining that they are unable to roll out the funds because the framework and the planning of settlements is not completed. And that is why some of these functions, we are even outside our urban planning unit of the department, also assisting in the critical ones that MISA assists to ensure that at least the framework is done and other services can be unlocked. I think those were the few additions I wanted to make, Chair, but thank you very much for the indulgence.
Thank you. Can we now go back to Salga? I suspect they might be properly linked now. Salga?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning again to honourable members, the MEC, the DM, and the staff that are supporting members. Chairperson, we had SALGA had, just by way of introduction, had a session with Treasury and COCTA to look at particular support that we will do. And SALGA's support was basically on ensuring, as the AG has said, there should be proper oversight from the municipal side. So we looked at finance and capacity building inclusive of governance. And the work that we have done, Chairperson, we looked at the unfunded budget together with Treasury, and we looked at capacitating councillors responsible for finance, working with provincial treasury. And we presented a strategy to adopt a funded budget in terms of Section 18 so that they should be aware of their roles that they should be playing and ensuring that they do look and strengthen their oversight. We also then looked at revenue management And the attendees were also councillors, because we focused mostly on councillors and their role in terms of oversight and strengthening their accountability role in terms of what the AG has said. And then we looked at, in collaboration with COPSTA, and looked at revenue enhancement, which is a forum that is held quarterly in sharing best practices. And we then ensured that councillors should understand their role in terms of this, in terms of also the implementation of credit control policies, as these municipal laws are always adopted by council. So as they adopt, they need to understand what is it that they are adopting. So we looked at those credit control policies to enhance revenue collection. We also looked at the non-submission of AFS, which we also say has improved in this year. And SALGA, in conjunction with Provincial Treasury and COGTA, conducted awareness sessions to assist councillors, especially the MPEC chairs and the chairs of the MMC or finance, which are the MMCs for finance, to perform their oversight function effectively in terms of Section 126 of the MFMA, but also then looked at how they improve their oversight in that regard. Chairperson, we also looked at challenges of and made them aware of the challenges in implementing MSCOA. And we then looked at the portfolio-based training on MSCOA, which is one area that was also an area of struggle. And we designed together with Treasury this training, and we conducted it for MPEC chairs and MMCs of finance, but also CFOs, to look at the benefits of MSCOA, the legislation related to budgeting, the budget process, but also the impact of MSCOA on the budget process, and overview of all the segments. This was to ensure that in oversight, councillors ensure that there's proper use of MSCOA, so that there's no challenges in terms of then coming up with your reporting monthly and quarterly, but also to build up towards your AFS. So as SALGA, we looked at those oversight roles of what the councillors need to do to ensure that they are on top of their game. Chairperson, we also looked at the implication of the UIF and W, which is portfolio-based to the same councillor, so that they also understand that this is an area that needs to be worked on in terms of their accountability and oversight as council, but also to understand when these reports come to council, how do they then deal with these reports. We also then look at the non-functionality of the MPECs. As you have heard, that Kagisano also had an unstable municipality, but we then went back and looked at how do we then ensure that once governance has stabilized, how do they then work with MPEC to ensure that all these reports are then concentrated on. We then looked at the weak oversight and accountability, as expressed that SALGA was really just looking at how we ensure that oversight is taken care of by councillors and support the ministry in effective oversight and accountability. And we then repeatedly go back, Chairperson, to look at MPEC and finance committees and support where we support them on the oversight functions. And this was also then again repeated over and above the portfolio-based induction training. We then went back and repeated some in March and conducted again with MPEC and finance again in April. And then we look at the district-based support in terms of how municipalities, especially those that are affected, to can deal with the UIF and W and consequence management, as it was mentioned, as a serious area for us as convergence by all parties, which is COGTA and Treasury. And we looked at the accountability model in terms of consequence management, so that we ensure that councillors do understand their role in terms of accountability, especially for Section 56 and 57 managers. We also looked at providing on-demand councillor welfare support, which is the risk mitigation mechanism that municipalities can use to better protect their municipal assets. And this was done recently in June. and then we go back to look at how councillor salaries and benefits and then look at to support councillors whilst they are doing their work. Chairperson, we also looked at the general poor ethical leadership and governance in municipalities, and we had that with the Ethics Institute, and we invited councillors to come and share with the Ethics Institute and the Ethical Leadership Initiative to ensure that there's a general understanding of corruption and how we should be as ethical leaders whilst we do our oversight role. So that was done for all municipalities, inclusive of Kagisano Molopo. We also looked at the awareness of annual financial statements, as this was mentioned even by the AG and Treasury that it was an issue, but we must say that that has improved as well as they were submitted. And we consistently look at district MPEC forums so that we ensure that there's a functionality of MPECs and understanding of oversight role in terms of all councillors that are there. And MPEC chairs also then attended our provincial members' assembly due to the items that we had discussed in terms of accountability and ensuring that councillors are aware of their role. But Jefferson, we must say that Kagisano Molopo has always been invited and given opportunity for even other to participate in other capacity building problems, but attendance was never on a satisfactory level. And we will continue to encourage Kagisano Molopo Council now that we think that there is stability also with the administrator. We are interacting also with the administrator to ensure that there is participation in SALGA programs as they basically look at capacity building. We will then continue to strengthen oversight as not a once-off function, but we consistently go back even from the district point to ensure that councillors understand their oversight role until we can really ensure that implementation of consequence management takes place. We will also support but could not then say that the instability in Kagisano Molopo will deter us from doing our work, but we will just continue to implore Kagisano Molopo to then attend to these workshops and capacity building so that they are able to strengthen their oversight, but also oversight in terms of service delivery. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can we now hand over to the Executive Mayor of the District Municipality? Over to you, Executive Mayor.
Thank you very much, Chair. Once again, good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, the Honorable Deputy Minister, Acting Deputy Director General, the MEC for Provincial Treasury, Superintendent General Melizi Mose, the Mayor and Speaker for Kagisano Molopo Local Municipality, the Administrator, Acting MMs for both Kagisano Local Municipality and Dr. Russo for Musi District Municipality, SALGA and SALGA and the AGSA. Chair, I hope my presentation does appear on your site. Honorable Chair?
Yes, we can see it.
Yes, Chair. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. May, with due indulgence, Chair, may I request that I jump the background of the presentation as it has been well articulated by the provincial departments, particularly COCTA Chair, and lead the committee to slide number 4. That is the current status quo and political and administration administrative matters, Chair. Chair, we are saying since the November 2021, there's the local government elections, the municipality in question has been beset by but they have been beset with political and administrative challenges. We are saying, Chair, at the center of these administrative challenges, which led to the instability at the municipality, is the then municipal manager. And as a result, the municipality was placed under Section 139 of B of the Constitution, as indicated by both COCTA and Provincial Treasury. And the administrator was therefore appointed, and then ultimately the acting municipal manager was also appointed. Currently, Chair, since the former MM left and intervention ensued, there has been stability in the municipality. Council had been meeting without hindrance. Chairperson? Chair, may I take you to slide number 5, which deals with the service delivery challenges that we experience in Kabisa Nomolopo. Kabisa Nomolopo is a municipality, Chair, that is having serious challenges of the provision of water, for example, uninterrupted water supply to all the areas. There is also a challenge of provision of sanitation services to all the wards, which have not been adequately covered. Currently, Chair, there is no service level agreement between Dr. Ruse Komuti District Municipality, which is a water service authority, and the Kabisa Nomolopo Local Municipality. There's a need for the upgrading of roads in Kabisa Nomolopo Local Municipality. There's a challenge of unlawful waste for a water disposal. There's also a challenge of landfill sites. And we are saying that in our experience, there's a high staff turnover at the municipality, which is currently, as indicated by MISA, having a situation or a problem of a lack of technical and engineering personnel. So we are saying, Dr. Ruth Pomuja Mumpati District Municipality, that we are the Water Service Authority and have we have the responsibility to provide uninterrupted water and sanitation to the municipality as a whole. As a result, Chair, for the 2022-2023 MTEF budget, the district has set aside allocations across various grants in order to address this responsibility. We are saying, Chair, there had been delays with the implementation readiness study approvals for the from the Department of Water and Sanitation. However, both the district and the department are solving the issue, Chair. I must indicate, once we came into office and realized this delay, which is emanating from the previous financial year, we sought an intervention of the Honorable Minister, Senzo Mkunu, who provided an audience to us, and we met on the 10th of October to deal particularly with other water-related challenges in the district and specifically also this one which relates to Kabisa Nomolopo local municipality in the Bonabona area. And we must say, since that intervention, Chair, we are pleased with the commitment that has been demonstrated by the teams of both water and sanitation and the district municipality. To that effect, Chair, the revised implementation readiness study, which would, once approved, kickstart the implementation of this project in Bonabona area, has been submitted on the 11th of November, and we are awaiting the approval of the department. The Kabisa Nomolopo local municipality, as a result of this delay in the bureaucratic process, has sent a letter dated the 4th of November requesting to be assisted with water shortages around Bonabona. And it's a matter that is under consideration from the Water Service Authority, which is the district municipality. We are saying, Chair, we as the district play a pivotal role in supporting the local municipality to extinguish the fires that ravaged the farming area around Kabisa Nomolopo. The district is prepared, Chair, to provide administrative, financial and technical support in terms of Section 88 of the Structures Act as and when required. And already there is a request to provide ICT support to the municipality and is being considered by the district. Chair, we are saying we have extensively consulted with Kabisa Nomolopo local municipality on the district development model to identify key catalytic projects to be implemented and supported. For example, Chair, there's a smart village concept to alleviate water challenges that's around the Dipudi area in Kapisa Nomolopo, and we have played and we are still continuing to play a pivotal role because we are of the view that once implemented, this project will address some of the sanitary challenges experienced by the local municipality. We are also working with through the district development model to address the landfill size development and the job creation projects through the Mutopi Kofi and Devil's Flow Chairperson. Chair, we are presenting before the your August committee the planned projects as indicated in our presentation that for this financial year, we have considered number of service delivery interventions through the various grants that we are provided with, Chair. And we are saying in the municipal infrastructure grant, as we have indicated, Chair, that there's a serious challenge of proper sanitation across the municipality where some of the areas have not been provided for the budget financial year under review. We are providing through the municipal infrastructure grant capital projects the amount to the tune of 25 million rand to address the sanitation in Kapisa Nomolopo local municipality. In addition, Chair, we are saying through the water service infrastructure capital grant, we are saying, Chair, we have considered a number of programs for Kapisa Nomolopo local municipality, and I would, as I did in the previous slide, Chair, take care to the financial year 2022-2023 financial year, where we have made available the amount of 49 million rand, which will cover the various areas of Kapisa Nomolopo as reflected in the slide, Chairperson. Further to that, Chairperson, we have also provided a service delivery intervention program for Kapisa Nomolopo Municipality through the Rural Bulk Infrastructure Grant for the capital projects for this financial year, Chairperson. They are outlined in the slide as it is, and at the top is the Bona Bona cluster that I referred, Chair, to, which experienced the challenge in the previous financial year. But through the intervention of the minister, we are hopeful that the challenge will soon be addressed. And we are saying, Chairperson, we have allocated, made available the total amount of 157 million rand for Kapisa Nomolopo for this financial. In conclusion, Chair, we're saying on the 8th of November 2022, our council resolved to sign a service delivery agreement with Magalis Water Board, a board that comes after the minister has de-established CDPN. Saying this will ensure that the services previously performed by CDPN Water Board will be carried out by Magalis Water Board without haste. We are further committing, Chair, that through the intervention that I indicated from the minister, we'll fast-track resolving the approval of the implementation readiness study with Department of Water and Sanitation to unblock the Bona Bona cluster, which is experiencing water shortages. We are addressing the water shortages in the Bray Pomfret area by drilling and equipping the boreholes around the area. Chair, we are hoping that as a water service authority, the number, high vacancy rate which existed on our side, would be a theme of the past, as we have appointed a substantial municipal manager who will assume responsibilities with effect from the 1st of December. And we are saying this will then lead to the capacitation of the district municipality on our side to further provide the necessary support to Kapisa Nomolopo Municipality. We'll support with administrative, financial, and technical services as and when needed by Kapisa Nomolopo Local Municipality Chair. And we will continue to engage with them on the district development model to realize the planned interventions and projects included in our District 1 plan
becomes a success and therefore help us to deal with issues of unemployment and poverty around the area. Having said that, Chair, I thank you and thank the committee at last. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Executive Mayor. The last presentation now would be for the local municipality. The local municipality, Kagisano Molopo, Executive Mayor, can I hand over to you?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me take this opportunity to extend my greetings to the Honorable Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee, the Deputy Minister, the MEC for Provincial Treasury, the Executive Mayor, SALGA, DDG, and other entities present in this meeting. Perhaps, Chair, we should start by apologizing for being behind schedule in terms of forwarding the presentation to the committee, but we did manage to submit the presentation. And if there is any information that we have omitted in the presentation, it will be forwarded, and an amended presentation will then be forwarded to the committee. So I'll be taking the committee through the status of the municipality. And if the chairperson allows, then the administrator will come in just to make a broader reflection on the progress of the Section 139 intervention. So on the introduction and background, Kagisano Molopo is a grade 2 municipality which is situated in Hangesa village in the Northwest Province and covering almost 77 villages and West Lakhameng, Hangesa and Morokweng. Chair, can I request the presentation to be flagged?
Yes, yes. Anyone who has got that responsibility or ability, can it be flagged?
Well, with the powers vested upon the chair can allow me to proceed.
Yes, you should proceed, and the other power, the person who must fly to this, it must be done. Proceed, Honorable Mayor.
Thanks, Chair. So Kagisano Molopo is a grade 2 municipality situated in Hangesa village in the Northwest Province and covering almost 77 villages, with Lakhameng, Hangesa and Morokweng being the main villages that are clustered with other sub-villages. And the municipal council is constituted by 29 councillors, and of which 15 of them are ward councillors, and of which 15 of them are ward councillors and 14 are PR councillors. And the term of the current municipal council started on the 9th of November 2021. And since the beginning of the current term, there has been a resistance to accept a change from the municipal administration led by the former municipal manager. And the resistance led to an attempt to change the deployment arrangement of the majority party in council. And those developments led to the collapse of good governance structures, which led to a high level of instability within the municipality. And the instability became clearer after the council meeting held on the 30th of March 2022, wherein the parallel council meeting, which was presided over by the former municipal manager, passed a motion of no confidence against the speaker and another motion of confidence on the mayor on the 12th of April 2022. And both the meetings that were presided over by the former municipal manager were against the prescripts of Section 29 of the Municipal Structures Act. And the speaker and the mayor approached the court and were granted a court order in favor of them on the 12th of April 2022. And the order was confirmed on the 27th of October 2022. On budget and integrated development plan, a certain group of councillors led by the former municipal manager attempted to adopt a budget and a five-year IDP in an unlawful meeting held on the 29th of June. And upon noting the developments in the Municipal Council, the National Treasurer requested some information to confirm the legitimacy of the meeting held. And the uncertainty regarding the legitimacy of the adoption of the final budget resulted on the National Treasury withholding the release of the municipal equitable share and other conditional grants. And as a result, the situation provincial exco placing the municipality under Section 1391B of the Constitution, and Mr. Seloma Roja was appointed as the administrator on the 20th of September 2022. And Mr. Olao Tsebojosinyane, who is the former municipal manager's contract, was terminated on the 7th of October 2022. We currently have Mr. Kagiso Morapedi, who is substantively the director responsible for planning and development, who was appointed as the acting municipal manager. So, in essence, Chair, ever since the inception of the term, the municipality has been experiencing a lot of challenges, which one would say they were political, and these challenges affected governance, service delivery, and the entire decorum of councils. And these challenges emanated from a divided council, which was orchestrated by the then accounting officer, who acted grossly and presided over illegal council meetings, which saw an unprecedented removal of the mayor and the speaker, respectively. But as indicated, the mayor and the speaker then approached the court to seek relief and recourse, and of which an interim court order was granted in favor of them and other councillors who were respondents to the matter. But beyond the interim court order, Chair, there was a series of contemptuous acts by the former municipal manager and councillors who were acting in defiance at the time, and the court was to make a final determination on the 23rd of June. And after a series of postponements of the court, then the court finally made a determination on the 20.
Yes, Mayor?
We have lost the mayor, Chair.
I thought it's me only who has lost. Honorable Mayor, the portfolio committee says to follow up on that, but in the meantime, I think she did give us a picture of what is going on there. I think it was the final order that was going to tell us what is the current situation. But when the mayor is back, yes.
Yeah, I was still on the floor, Chair.
Oh, we are looking for you. You disappeared. Continue, Honorable Mayor.
Yes, Chair. As I was indicating, that both the meetings that removed the speaker and the mayor were declared unlawful and set aside by the court of law. And that also the court set aside the illegal meetings which adopted the IDP and the budget. And the municipality will then furnish the committee with a copy of the court order if the committee so wishes. But post the Section 139 intervention, the municipality has embarked on a series of meetings of management and meetings with the provincial and national treasury to try and remedy all the budget-related matters. And the management meetings were to mainly deal with the issues around the IDP in order to respond speedily to the service delivery backlog that has been there as a result of the political instability. So in conclusion, Chair, one would say that there is a positive outlook of stability since the Section 139 intervention, and the municipality has managed to have its first successful council meeting on the 13th of October, and the second successful council meeting, which adopted the five-year IDP and budget, set on the 10th of November 2022. So, Chair, I think for the first time in the history of the municipality, the Section 139 intervention is received well by the community of Garissa Nomolopo, and there is no intense resistance like we have seen in the past. We are working well with the provincial government through the administrator, Mr. Seloma Roja, and this is after the municipality embarked on a series of meetings with both
the provincial treasury and COCTA MECs who have been committed and have worked tirelessly to stabilize the municipality even before the invocation of Section 1391B. So currently, Chair, the municipality is busy working on a service delivery improvement plan and a consequence management plan, which will be submitted to the provincial government in due course, which is the provincial treasury and the Department of COCTA, after being adopted in the next council meeting. And at the same time, we are working on capacitating the MPEC committee so that it can perform its functions fully and commission an investigation that will look into all the other issues of corruption and maladministration that were brought to the attention of the municipality. And other factors like the UIF issues that are affecting the municipality negatively in terms of the municipality achieving its primary objective, which is to deliver the services to the people of Kagiso Nomoloko. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. That brings me to the conclusion of my presentation.
Chair. Chair?
I think the chair is gone.
No, I'm not gone. I saw the hand of Honorable Chaban Chaba. And I only heard voices now after that. Then Honorable Space, number two. Honorable Grunewald, number three. Honorable Theza, number four. For now, those are the hands that I see. Can I start with Honorable Taban Chaba?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Chair. I am audible enough, Chair.
Yes, yes, you can hear you.
Chair, good morning, Chair, and the colleagues and the department who are presenting. Let me welcome the presentation, Chair, all presentation. Chairperson, in this municipality, Chair, as at 23, in the eve of the meeting, the municipality had not yet submitted its report to the portfolio committee. Chairperson, this makes it difficult for the committee to engage the municipality and amount to impeding the committee's oversight function. This is an offense in terms of the Powers and Privileges Act. Chair, the Portfolio Committee should engage the municipality in more details around this. Honorable Chairperson, you know, on the 30th of April 2019, the municipality agreed to pay GKM Management Services on an amount of 6 million over a period of 1 year and 2 months to investigate the unauthorized, regular, fruitless work and wasteful expenditure from the 2013 until 2029 and 2020 in the financial year. The municipality was requested to function the committee, the portfolio committee, with a copy of this investigative report. The municipality has not complied with this request. The portfolio committee was previously informed that the investigative report has findings on the UIFW have been tabled to the MPEC, and the MPEC would institute the recommended consequences management. Has this, Chairperson, if I may ask to this municipality, has this been done after the MPEC? Thank you, Chairperson.
The next is Honorable Space.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm going to leave my video off.
No, it's fine.
Chairperson, in anticipation to the Auditor General's comment that mentioned that it doesn't look like the audit report is going to be any better. It's actually going to be worse. So I want to understand, what does the AG, if any, recommend should be done after all that they have done and all the interventions that has been implemented? Then, Chairperson, my second question is more or less in the same line, is also what are the requirements that needs to be met before this intervention will end, and what is the progress being made? There has been a lot said about the progress being made, but if you look at some of the reports, it contradicts what is said in terms of the progress that's been made. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Groenewald.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, please let me keep my camera off as well. Chairperson, I've listened and I've watched through the presentations, and it looked like a lot of window dressing. Chairperson, the reason why I say that if you go to the municipality, you will see that there is no service delivery. You will see that it's a dysfunctional council. I cannot see how they're going to get out of the mud they are currently in. Chairperson, if I heard correctly in the last presentation, they only adopted an unfunded budget on the 10th of November. If that is correct, then the question will be, MEC of Kokstad in Northwest, what have been done by the province in terms of our clear local legislation? Should that council then still be a council? And if that is the case as well, if that's the first budget not being approved within the time frames of the MFMA, what does it spell for the future of that municipality where your council, the first budget at that specific council after 21 election, that wasn't adopted in terms of that framework? Then I also looked at Salga's presentation. They said what support they are giving in terms of the councillors and so forth. And then their last slide, they say it's, but nobody is attending. So what actual steps are Salga going to take to make sure that those councillors get that training? And in terms of your code of conduct for councillors, you have to have at least, meetings quarterly in terms of the Act. And when such councillors do not attend that meeting, there's clear consequent management in terms of that. Why wasn't consequent management taken if there wasn't meetings held between January and October in 2022? So the MEC can respond on that as well. So Chairperson, I think this municipality is a clear indication of what Northwest looked like, but I think this one is the worst. I think also we can describe it as the worst municipality in South Africa in terms of service delivering. They've got four core functions in terms of sewerage, in terms of your waste, and water electricity is your main functions within a municipality. These municipalities do not comply with one of them. So, Chairperson, that will be my input. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Peza.
No, thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. I think the first thing that will come to mind is that if officials are fighting amongst themselves, they are taking themselves to court, and there's pandemonium like that on the basis of personal infighting in the municipality. You ask yourself, where is the community today in terms of a service delivery? And Honorable Khulavert has painted that picture. Let's go, Chair, to what the Auditor General says first there. The AG indicates that the councillors are not capacitated to deal with the UIF. What is the remedial action that SALCA will undertake to capacitate councillors in relation to the UIF? Because all those things of UIF, Chair, if you are dealing with wasteful expenditure, if a wall there, you took money from the public and said you are going to do the you are going to refurbish the wall, and then you don't refurbish it, it means that you are corrupt. That money did not go for intended purposes. It's the same everywhere. The question then remains, what are the impediments that constitute the process of Section 106 investigations? Because we hear that Section 106 are halted here, and there are threats and things like that. So what, because that Section 106 of the Systems Act will actually give us a sense of the consequences that have been taken, the nature of the consequences, person who is liable to those things. So we want to get an understanding what really constitutes that particular issue. And then SALCA talks about poor ethics. I mean, how is the administration going to deal with to transform ethics of people who are inherently corrupt in a municipality? Even if I can come there and or you can go there yourself, Chairperson, you are not going to change the people's ethics there. So how do you transform ethics, and how does the Section 139(1)(b) of the Constitution seeks to deal with issues of internal battles between warring factions of the ruling party of the municipality, to shift that focus to service delivery? Because we can't be talking PR issues in the committee. You know, we must talk issues of political influence. You know, how does the administration gets to do away with political influence himself? So that those unethical elements in the municipality do not seek to use the administration to loot the coffers of the municipality. That's what's that there. And then we have been here, Chair, before with this municipality, and there are many issues, and water and sanitation being amongst them is one of them. And that goes to show the worst state of the municipality of Kagiso Mulopo, and just the lack of skills in that municipality, the control environment that's lacking there, the support of MISA that they are talking about, the infrastructure development, for instance, Chair. If you are MISA giving support there, why are we still having issues of water and sanitation to date? What is the your outcome of infrastructure development? It's nice to say capacity building and all that thing that you are addressing here in the committee, but we need timeframes in terms of to do analysis of your of your capacity building, what is the nature, you know, it's graduates and all those things that you are putting there. But we want to get an understanding what is the nature and the completion thereof. Chairperson, I think that contributes my questions there. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'm not sure, Honorable Space, is your hand still up? You want to say something, or it's an old hand?
Well, mine is not an old hand. It's the one that I left some other things, Chair, at the end of my preparation in the last page. I wanted to check, man, with the section 165 of the MFMA, which requires each municipality to have an internal audit unit. You know, how does the intervention seek to capacitate the internal audit to independently deal with the requirements of section 166 of the MFMA? Because therein we are hearing things of Section 79 of the Municipal Systems Act. There is no service delivery. There's regression in the audit opinion, and it doesn't look like there has been issues that have been addressed in relation to the issues that have been raised by the Auditor General, Chair. I just wanted to ask the what is the state, and how will the intervention deal with section 165? And then, Chair, on these things of MPEC, I wanted to check whether there are learnings that are drawn, exchange best practices in terms of accountability, just the learnings between SCOPA and the impacts. What is the intervention doing there? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Space, is that an old hand? Honorable Mbumza, I see your red button. I don't know whether it's to say you want to say something.
Yes, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Mbumza.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, let's welcome the presentations that are very informative. But Chair, it is it's very sad and shameful that a municipality that has been established to service its people is now found wanting, deeply involved in fighting, both politically and administratively, leading to the fact that the other spheres must come into Section 139. Chair, during our visit in May, as a portfolio committee to Northwest, the then MEC has given us an undertaking that he was to invoke Section 106 of the Systems Act to investigate and a service the provider was appointed in that regard. Is it possible that as this committee we could be appraised of those investigative reports and what has happened, what consequences had followed after those reports have been tabled to council up to now? Secondly, Chair, the municipalities are legislated to generate Section 71 reports that are submitted to provincial treasury and provincial coroner, so that they are in a position to have a window that would be an indicator as to the financial standing of the municipalities and how finances are being managed. And this provision serves as an early warning that would assist for an early intervention.
So
the whole of the last term, this particular municipality, other than this new one, has been in this infighting, and then finances had not been properly managed. What has the provincial COCTA, provincial treasury and COCTA been doing on receiving these reports so that they could early intervene before the situation could be sliding into a distressful position? And the other unfortunate situation is that we are reported that 3 months, the new council has once more collapsed back into the situation it was before the elections. Is this not that our delay to intervene? Because I hope that the provincial COCTA has a responsibility to monitor municipalities and to support. Has it this not been the situation, because we didn't intervene earlier, that we find ourselves in this particular situation in the new council, that there are these infightings? We are told here again that the then municipal manager was the instigator with immunity. His contract had actually come to an end. What consequence management is this council employing to bring that delinquent municipal manager into a sober senses, and for squandering municipal finances to be liable for all the losses that the municipality had to incur through his mismanagement? Again, share the presentation by the mayor of the district was indicating that access to sanitation services has not been achieved to all the wards of the municipality. Mayor, the access to sanitation services is a human right and is a dignity matter. What are then the timelines to ensure that all communities in the wards of the municipality have an access to sanitation services? I've seen your slide where you bring us your planned project, but my interest is, what are the timelines to ensure that access coverage is achieved? Again, on the slide where it was indicated, I share due to the network that battled me. When Misa was presenting, I was already out. But when the provincial COCTA was presenting, I was still around. Yeah, it was an indication that there are boreholes that are being provided in the wards of the municipality. Are these boreholes covering all the municipalities for the services that the communities had long desired and been waiting for? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Groenewald, I see your hand. Is that an old hand?
No, Chairperson, just one question that I skipped. Is in terms of PBS Bank, they deposited 150 million into that bank. How many did they recover? Just a quick question. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Space, should I assume that's an old hand? Okay, I assume it's an old hand, but you'll indicate if it is not. We will now, Honorable DM, Honorable MEC, Honorable Executive Mayors, directed by yourselves. I think we must in that order, so that there's some coordination. Start with National COCTA, COCMA, National DCOG, DM, and assign your team to respond to whatever questions that might have been directed at yourselves.
Chair, would you allow me before they come in?
Yes, I can allow you. Yes.
Chair, the Auditor General had raised the issue of stability as a critical factor in making sure that municipalities function optimally. Can we be appraised by the mayor of the municipality that they had understood at the strategic level the dire need of ensuring stability for optimal functioning of the municipality? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. DM.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you to Honorable Members for engaging the presentations in totality. I must indicate, Honorable Chair, that Mr. Mohale has to take the flight, but I'm not alone. Of course, Mr. Alan Zimbwa is still here, and Loiso is here. I'm going to request them to deal with the questions, which were not specifically to COCTA, but I think there were some of the issues which we could share some sentiment on, and I will make some concluding remarks and hand over to the chair again. Okay, thanks. Can we start with Mr. Bimba? I'm sorry, Zimbwa. Hey, yeah, there's a Bimba and a Zimba. They are very related in the town. Alan Zimbwa to start with the MISA portion and Loisa with the DCOG portion, and then I will close up.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Deputy Minister. The one question I will attempt to respond to is from Honorable Kesa, who highlighted a very important issue about timelines. And indeed, he is very right, Honorable Deputy Minister. What we would like to indicate, Honorable Kesa, is that with the reports being given now, that stability is now happening within Kakisano Moloko local municipality. It will make the work of MISA and all national and provincial departments easier to support in terms of Section 154 of the Constitution. And with respect to water and sanitation, the water services that you mentioned, Honorable Teza, we work with Dr. Ruth, SM District, who is the Water Services Authority, to ensure that they finalize their Water Services Development Plan, which provides the timelines, as you have indicated. And they do have one. It just needs to be updated. And we work together with the Department of Water Services, I mean, the Department of Water and Sanitation, if they are the monitoring sector department, to ensure that that is put in place. But the main point that I wanted to indicate, Honorable Teresa, is that indeed, with the stability that is reported, we should be able to then bring forward those instruments that have the timelines, but our work continues on the ground. Thank you very much, Honorable DM. Loiso? Loiso? Loiso was on the platform, maybe having challenges, Honorable Dear.
Hello?
Yes, please proceed.
I got cut off at some point in time and I've just rejoined now. I just want to find out what were the issues.
Well, it's okay, Chair, with your permission. I did see he got dropped off and he is connected over the phone now, but it's okay. I think I can be able to deal with the two outstanding issues rather than rehearsing the issues which were raised to the members, to the person who got cut off. And I see Honorable Kaza is just cut off as well, and some of the issues were raised by him. But nonetheless, Chair, I will continue with your permission, even when he is cut off. Chair, I did indicate in our opening remarks, and also Mr. Mohale did indicate, both the provincial and the national support teams had a difficulty in commencing and starting the support. And the mayors elaborated in terms of the attempts they've made to create stability in the municipality so that you are able to bring in support. Imagine a situation where you want to come and bring support, but council itself is not stable. Then the measures which you are trying to put in place rather become difficult because there is no proper coordination, there's no support that, or nobody receives the support. The MISA team might have not articulated as well the attempt before they could even begin with the work in terms of trying to just get the presence appreciated in the municipality, but also the support being received and welcomed and a buy-in. And the mayor also indicated the difficulty it took the processes legally for them to even challenge the issues. Yet there is, Honorable Brink, you can call it legal progress, yes. But we also have to appreciate the difficulty that the municipality is still having, actually. One, you've cited the issue of the budgetary process, but also you have cited the issues of no proper service delivery that is afforded. But we also have tabulated issues, and I think Mr. Alan can then send to the team the revised timelines with regard to the delivery areas that MISA is assisting with. Honorable Kaza, obviously, the question now belongs to all the honorable members. So, Chair, I'll take it in that spirit and continue. By very design, provincial COCTA and national COCTA ordinarily will only come in a form of a support, whether there is a 139 or no 139, but to all the municipalities. So they are custodians of designing their own delivery. They have challenges. So it is not possible for provincial COCTA or national COCTA to overtake all the a service delivery that the municipality is supposed to do. I mean, we only have a small unit of MISA at national. It collaborates with the province. So it will not be possible, honorable members, that we will close all the potholes in the just this one municipality and all. But our training programs are meant to enhance the work that is there, the people that are there, to be able to understand and do the work themselves. And that is why we focus more, though we also deploy, like in the spatial development and engineer practicing in developmental planning and architect to assist the municipality to adopt its plan. We do go to such extremes in areas where there are difficulties. And I think the last issue I would want to comment to Chair, is the coordination and the collaboration of capacity development between ourselves, COCTA, and SAUGA. That once the areas have been identified, we focus more on the technical support
SALGA has very minimum technical support. Yes, they do in terms of audit programs, but they deal with municipalities specifically that they can also adopt in their municipal support audit plan improvement. The issue of non-attendance then falls squarely on council to be able to push its own directors and employees to be able to attend the schedule that SALGA issues, one in terms of the working group for capacity, but two also in terms of counselors who are supposed to attend. For example, the MPEC training, the speakers training in the speakers forum, the chief whips training in the chief whips forum. Honorable Chair, it may not necessarily also on that be possible for SALGA to issue any sanction. They don't, the law even doesn't allow them to do that. So it's more about, we understand we have got this challenge, if we have reviewed the audit plan, we are putting up this, please show attendance. And really, it will be more about an engagement and sensitizing one another how important this issue is. But for a very long time, as the MEC said, this council has been bogged down in trying to pave a smoother administration political stability for any other program to land and be implemented properly. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Can we now move to MEC Osho and your team, including COCTA? Over to you, MEC.
Now, thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Let me welcome the questions as raised by Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. Chair, you'll pardon me, before I hand over to the team, I would want just to take you back as a Portfolio Committee members. I know that you did indicate that you have been briefed in terms of what has happened, and you are now a successor in terms of taking the process forward. If Honorable Members can recall, we have had several engagements in the previous council before this a new council. And part of the root cause of the problems, deeply rooted problems in that municipality at the time with council. We had a council that was micromanaged by the municipal manager. And that has deepened the divisions and has eroded the moral high ground in terms of compliance. And there's not been adherence in terms of the rule of law. Instead, we are sitting with an MM, as we invoked, provincial government invoked in the previous administration, fifth administration in 2019. As provincial government invoked section 139, we're sitting with an MM who took us together with council, they took provincial government to court. And there has been that battle. However, with the current council, we are sitting with a council that has asserted itself in terms of their political oversight, who are well aware of the role that they should play over administration. And as a result of that, our observation as a COCTA and provincial treasury is it has agitated the MM. Hence, he actually strives to divide councillors and have this group of councillors that were able to listen to him and do all these transgressions where they even take adopted a budget which was declared null and void by the court of law. So I think we must commend, Honorable Members, that we are sitting with councillors, especially the Speaker and the Mayor, who are well-seized with the political oversight ecosystem and are well-prepared to actually ensure that there's accountability. I think that's one area that we must appreciate from a government side and as well as from the portfolio committee side, because if you have to compare and assess the previous council and the current council, this current council, we had a sizable number, but who could not correct in council. It was, I think, around 11 councillors, but who were very decisive and stamped up in making sure that they want to hold the municipal manager accountable, and they were determined even to take
the MM to court and ensure that some of the judgments are taken for recourse. And finally, the outcome, the judgment, the current judgment, is in favor of the mayor, the sitting mayor, who is legitimate together with the speaker and the other councillors. And as a result of that, there has also from provincial treasurer, we started that work together with COCTA and SALGA. We are like a triplet. We work together, we are glued up together in making sure that we provide that support. And from provincial treasury side, what we have done says there has been work around the issue of even the reviewing of financial statements to provide that support. With the new structure that we have has been approved by the DPSA for provincial treasury, we have district directors. And the district our district director for provincial treasury, for Dr. Ruth Okumotsi Mompati, is hard at work. Actually, Dr. Ruth Mompati is part of the municipalities, all the municipalities within that district are part of the municipalities that actually are in financial crisis. However, Kaskano Molopo is much better as compared to other municipalities, including the district. Hence, with the support in preparing, in reworking what HOD has presented to rework the budget, we have also assisted them to make sure that they prepare the financial and the financial plan to respond to the financial the elements of the financial recovery plan. So I think, honorable members would think that we took time as provincial government does, but there's been a concerted multidisciplinary team, concerted effort through the multidisciplinary team to provide support, of course, also with our, I think DM has covered ground in terms of that, and as well as National Treasury. And as a result of the resistance and instability in this current administration, which was perpetually caused by the MM, we were left with no choice as provincial treasurer but to propose to COCTA to jointly submit a letter, a memo to the Minister of Finance and the Minister of DCOG that we must invoke Section 216 of the Constitution and actually withhold the equitable share, which was not a desirable intention because it was going to affect the service delivery, but we had no choice. Because we are sitting with a municipality that could not comply, that did not adopt the budget, and that continue to have all those instabilities. And this is one municipality, the MM from administration, that also rely on that over reliance on consultants. Everything that is done there is done through consultants. But with this new council, they have been decisive in asking difficult questions to the administrator. And I think, Chair, we should appreciate the work that has been done. There has been delays. It looks like not a great progress. So far, little progress has been mentioned. But I think that there is a leadership, political leadership, that is prepared to steer the ship to the right direction. In terms of the post-audit action plans, I'm confident, Chair, because we are consistently working through our district director in providing that support to, and this is part of the support plan from provincial treasury point of view, in making sure that we strengthen the oversight committees, we are making sure that the MPEC committees are giving support, and we are now working with SALGA to ensure that as and when MPEC committees prepare their schedules for engagements as part of their oversight, provincial treasury will be like your AG during SCOPA sittings. They'll go and brief the MPEC committees as part of empowering them. So I think, Chair, from our side, we will continue to provide support working together with SALGA and COCTA. But with the question that you've asked by members on the delay in terms of the intervention, I think we are registering great progress. This is one intervention that has been fully accepted by community members, by business, by Bukhosi Barna, the traditional authorities, and councillors. So there is that to cohesion within the institution as well to make sure that there is stability and the services can be delivered to their communities. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Anybody from your side, or you have covered almost everything?
I think I've covered everything. I'll check with OTZ and if maybe there's anything, but I think HOD, I don't think we have any other thing from our side, from provincial treasurer, but I think that I've covered both departments.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Can we then allow, I'll skip Auditor General and SALGA. and ask the executive mayor of the district if there are any questions that he would want to respond to.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Chair, with your permission, may I respond to two questions that I think have been posed with regard to the services that we provide as a district municipality. The two questions are from Honorable Mpumza. In the first question, Chair, Honorable Mpumza wanted to understand the timelines with regard to the coverage of the sanitation in Kafisa Mulopo Local Municipality, Chair. And while saying, Chair, we will gladly provide for the coverage, the timelines with regard to the project that is under implementation. We are saying that, Chair, simply because we appreciate that there is a serious backlog in terms of sanitation, and this is a human rights issue. However, the matter under discussion, Chair, is a moving target because it's provided for as and when settlements continue to grow. And sometimes our settlements grow at a rate that far supersedes the resources at our disposal. However, we can confidently say the project that we have presented for in line with its allocation, we are confident that by the end of January 2023, the project will be completed, and it's a project that is intended to provide 950 households in Kafisa Nomolopo with proper sanitation services. Chair, in addition to that, Honorable Mpumza wanted to understand whether the boreholes that were referred to by MISA would be would cover all the areas of Kafisa Mulopo Local Municipality. I must say, Chair, irrespective of the fact that MISA has responded on the technical support that they are providing on this matter, Chair, we can say in addition to that, the boreholes referred to by MISA would not ensure that there is a provision of water throughout the municipality. These are the boreholes which are referred to for a particular area in Kafisa Local Municipality, Chair. In the presentation that I made, Chair, I indicated that one of the clusters of Kafisa Mulopo Local Municipality, Bona Bona, Chairperson, as projects have been delayed by bureaucratic red tapes, which we have sought the intervention of the Honorable Minister, and we are hoping that soon we will get an approval to implement the project that will cover the better part of the cluster, Chairperson. In addition to that, we can say there is a further provision of water in the Dipudi area in Kafisa Mulopo. There is establishment of the boreholes around that area, which project, Chairperson, is sitting at 90%, and we are sure and confident that by the end of this month, November, the project will be completed. We also refer to the Bray Pomfret area, which is still having a project of a similar nature as that of the Pudi. And the project is also at 90% will be completed by the end of November, Chairperson. The projects on which we are still awaiting approval on, Chair, we are unable to commit with regard to their timelines, because it becomes difficult on our side to speak to the timelines when we do not have we have not yet even procured a service provider.
Honorable Mayor, are you done?
Honorable Mpumza, thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Can we now move to the executive mayor of the local municipality? Over to you, executive mayor, and your team.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Chair, I think with regards to the report that was required by the committee on the 6 million rand that was paid to investigate the UIF-related matters and other related issues that were raised. We did indicate that ever since the inception of the term, there has never been stability in the municipality, meaning that for the past 12 months, there has been challenges which affected governance altogether, as well as service delivery. And all committees that have the responsibility to play oversight have been non-functional due to the negative interface between administration and the politicians, which led to an overall instability within the municipality. So things have not been normal in the municipality. And to put it frankly, Chair, we have not been having a municipality, just a circus that was orchestrated by the former municipal manager. And as a result, the provincial government had to intervene, and we do reaffirm our commitment to ensuring that we would work together with the administrator to restore the stability that is required within this municipality. Chair, we could not have stabilized the municipality in a space of a month and few weeks and post the intervention after the municipality has been unstable for over a year. And I did indicate as well that there is a series or there is a service delivery improvement plan that we're working on, which will be tabled in the next council meeting and will be forwarded to the provincial treasury as well as the Department of COCTA. And we can also send it to the committee if the committee so wishes. And on section 106, we did get a correspondence at some point from the department on their intention to invoke section 106, which we did welcome. And we are hoping that it will help us in responding to the issues of corruption and maladministration that has been taking place in the municipality. So the situation has been so dire to a point that the former municipal manager has not been submitting Section 71 reports. And the matter was reported to the provincial treasury, and they did intervene by withholding the equitable share, which we felt was best at the time, because the municipal coffers were being misused by the municipal manager at that time. And on consequence management with regards to the former municipal manager, we did indicate as well that we are currently developing a consequence management plan with activities and timelines, which will be forwarded to the provincial and national treasury as well as COCTA. And also, if the committee so wishes, will then send the plan to them as well. Okay, we believe that those who brought the municipality into a state of disarray must be brought to book and face the full might of the law. So we are not going to rest until such is achieved. Thank you very much, Chair. And if there's anything that I've not covered, I think my colleagues will then come in to respond to some of the questions that I did not capture. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Can we now go back to Salga, if there's anything that could have been a question directed to you?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the question was regarding the attendance of the members to training. And the DM captured the role of Salga very clear, but added on to that is that Salga's correspondence goes to the mayor, the office of the speaker, and to the municipal manager. But because of the instability, we can accept that there has been the low attendance. But as we indicated in the presentation, we will continue together with Treasury and COCTA to support and redo the capacity building programs as indicated. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Office of the Auditor General.
Thank you. To respond to Honourable Speaker's question on what needs to be done, I think it's been covered by most of the speakers. To re-emphasize, without stability at leadership level and without the cooperation between the political and the administrative leadership, none of the interventions will really will bear fruit, not as we would want to see them. What I think is what is encouraging is, as NEC Khoshu has mentioned, that driving from their side on the coordinating department side, driving the interventions and driving accountability is bearing fruit. And I think this is more of a long-term solution than something that we will see changes happening overnight. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I think we have asked questions. We have responded. And unless there's anyone who wants to make a follow-up, we should be approaching closing the meeting. If I can, I think we all agree that there was instability. We may not agree that there's something positive that is developing, but we can all appreciate that. In fact, the first appreciation is when you're here at the top now, when we hear the mayor saying they are ready to deal with all these issues. By implication, it might mean there is a backlog, Mayor, in terms of responding to the issues that have been raised by oversight in the form of the committee. So I'm sure you'd go back with your team, check what are the issues that were promised that could not be fulfilled in terms of submitting to the committee. And I think in addition to what you are planning with your team, that you kept on saying you would submit to province and national, if we wish as the portfolio committee, it's not a wish, you must also submit to us. We only follow up on what those who are in the executive are executing. And we can only measure when we have got your plan. So submit to us as well anything that we might have asked questions about. I think we are noting the fact that this instability was serious. So you are starting almost from zero. So we acknowledge that. I think out of that yesterday's experience, if we did not force you to come to this meeting, you might not have learned much as well. You see, when we are all talking about one municipality, how do we support it? And we ask all these questions in your presence. I'm sure it will make a big difference. When I say you, I mean your troika, which we were informed speaker is in here, as well as the chief whip and the administrator. My last point would be on this thing of section 139. I think we'd all be very happy if we can experiment with this implementation of section 139, 1B, and it becomes successful at this local municipality. That goes back to your DM to say your team, I'm not sure what was preventing them from going into this municipality, Kahasano, Molopo, to do what they are supposed to do in terms of the constitution and the law, assess the situation and pass a view, minister, must say something about what is going on there and come in full force to provide that support so that next time when we want to ask questions, they are not as many as they were today. So I would say section 139, 1B, first I'm specific to this municipality, but generally, it's supposed to say when you want to take over, that is normally declared by the province, when you want to take over the authority, there must be specific executive powers that are taken from the municipality that the province might be accountable for. When you put in an administrator, that's why we expect a difference. So hence the administrator is in here, must as well check which powers that could have made the municipality to collapse, which might have been, in terms of the intervention, supposed to have been taken from the municipality handed over to the MEC, who in turn has got this face there. In other words, this issue of intervention, it's just becoming a word now. We are saying, I think let's begin to see something when we say there's intervention. But like I'm saying, there's something positive. The leadership currently, and of course the collaboration in the departments that are coordinating at the level of the province, coordination with SALGA, something positive as well. So it can only mean that if we identify the specific areas where we want to intervene, that will help. With those, I thought in future, when we want to interact with the municipality, things would be positive. We appreciate the decision by the mayor to join this session. I'm sure it is something. For us, we have learned something out of it, and I can imagine everybody. DM, would you want to say something before we close? Followed by MEC, Executive Mayor of the District, and lastly, the beneficiary of this, the local municipality. DM? So maybe DM is gone. MEC?
No, thank you, Honorable Chair. I think our party short as provincial government, I'll also speak in the voice of MEC Micha, because we are also a three-member MECs representing provincial government to continuously assess and monitor municipalities that are not in good state. So I think I must appreciate this session, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. And we are committed as provincial government, especially COCTA and provincial treasury, to continuously support municipalities. We'll work together with DCOG, MISA, National Treasury, as well as SALGA. On the issues of budget reporting, accounting and audit support and supply chain management, I must confirm, sir, that, and revenue management, I must confirm that provincial treasury already has started to roll that plan, working together with also from a governance point of view, as well as services are working together with COCTA. So I think we are grateful of the session. We've learned lessons. There are things that we can also go back and relook at and work together with the municipality through the administrator, as well as the mayor, because the mayor, she's also a member of the MUNIMEC, where we also discuss issues of political oversight at our level. So thank you to honorable members and all stakeholders, and appreciate also the support from the PM. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Executive Mayor of the District.
Thank you once again, Honorable Chairperson. Chair, I must say from the onset that one appreciate the work that the committee is doing, and also further appreciate the support that is provided by both national and provincial COCTA, including a provincial treasury chair. I must say the session, Chair, is in our sight in reaching. We appreciate the comments and the questions that have been posed by honorable members of the committee. They serve, Chairperson, as a positive development or a positive enforcement on the work that we do. We are mindful of the work and the role and responsibilities that you have to play, Chairperson. On that note, Chair, we have taken some lessons from the engagement, and these lessons will only serve to strengthen the work that we do and the support that we provide to local municipalities in our district, Chairperson. On that note, Chair, may I once again appreciate the efforts, appreciate the engagement they were enriching. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mayor of the local municipality.
No, thank you very much, Chair. We want to take this opportunity as the municipality of Kagiso Nomolopo to reaffirm our commitment to cooperating with the committee. And we also want to appreciate the immense support that we have been consistently receiving from both the Department of Treasury and the Department of COCTA, as well as the district municipality. We are making an undertaking to ensure that our municipality is piloted as one of the municipalities where the Section 139 intervention has worked successfully. So we are intending to work together with the administrator to ensure that we stabilize the municipality and ensure that the primary objective of the municipality is achieved fully, which is to deliver services to the people of Kagiso Nomolopo. And lastly, Chair, we appreciate the comments and the questions as well as the inputs that were raised by members of the portfolio committee. And we take it as a lesson as well. And we are going to go back to reflect and to implement all that has been raised in this committee. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. In fact, you have summarized it well when you say, in the end, beneficiaries of all these exercises are the people of that municipality when they see services being delivered to them sustainably and qualitatively. This should then adjourn the meeting. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much for participation, and I hope everything will move from now. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you.